Welcome to the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. It is the Tuesday, April 13th, 2021 edition of the program. We are broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Going to talk a lot of baseball with Casey Stern in just a couple of minutes, our guy from MLB Network Radio on Sirius, also part of Turner Sports. You see him on NBA coverage, college hoops, Major League Baseball, postseason on Turner, all of that and more. Casey Stern will join us in just a couple of minutes. Cardinals dropped the first game of their three-game series to the Nationals yesterday. Blues, meanwhile. How about the Blues? After we talked last week about the precarious position that the Blues were in, they have been red hot, reeling off three wins in a row back in the playoff picture. Yesterday, we had Andy Strickland on before the NHL trade deadline, and no moves for the Blues. Really a quiet day around the league, but that's kind of what we expected. And if you missed yesterday's episode, really recommend you go back and listen to it, because we had a great chat with Andy about Doug Armstrong and what I call the benefit of the doubt clause. Doug Armstrong has earned it. Doug Armstrong is perhaps one of the best examples, I believe, right now in professional sports when it comes to the benefit of the doubt clause. And that is what he does, the moves he makes, the decisions that he makes, and how he operates the team. You really can't question any of it, can you? Over the last 5-6 years, while this championship window has been open, I mean, he's been decisive. He has been determined. He obviously works with great ownership. Like, it takes spending up to the cap, and Blues fans are very fortunate to have Tom Stillman in that ownership group, because they have given Armstrong not only the keys to the car, but they have given him the opportunities to put premium gas in the car, to, you know, have the best roadside assistance for the car, to make sure that you bought the best car in the first place, so you don't need to use that stuff. Like, point being, there has been no expense spared, really, over the last handful of years, from the payroll to the facilities, and that has been proven to be a successful way to operate with the results that they've had. So again, just like we don't react to a bad small sample in drastic ways, I won't react to a good three-game sample by saying that all of a sudden all the Blues issues are solved and they're going to win the Stanley Cup. But I will say that because of the track record, Doug Armstrong has earned the benefit of the doubt from me, and I believe in what the Blues have done to this point and the fact that they stood pat yesterday, and believe in the process moving forward. So enjoyed the chat with Andy Strickland yesterday, and plenty more Blues talk coming up as the Blues will be back on the ice tomorrow against Colorado. Really, a pivotal stretch continues against some of the teams that they're chasing in the West, the Avalanche at the top of the Western Division right now. The doctors at Ophthalmology Associates are our studio sponsor here on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. You need to go to YourEyeDoc.com, YourEyeDoc.com, and click around, learn a little bit about what Ophthalmology Associates and the doctors can do for you. Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Bersatti, and Dr. Andrew Royer are the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. They're called that because more doctors trust them with their eyes than anyone else. So shouldn't you trust the doctors at Ophthalmology Associates? It's pretty simple. Your eyes, as important as they are, deserve the best care. And just because you haven't had issues with your eyes, if you're fortunate, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't get in for an annual exam. Your insurance will cover it. Shouldn't you take advantage of that? Just because you've heard certain things, like someone told me the other day, I have an astigmatism. I'm not a candidate for LASIK. It's not necessarily true. In fact, I think you would be surprised about some of the misconceptions that we might have about a procedure like LASIK. Don't live with misconceptions. Don't live with questions anymore. Visit the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. I want you to schedule an appointment right now. Call 314-966-5000. Set up a consultation. If insurance is going to cover it, why wouldn't you? You don't stop going to the dentist or getting, you know, physicals. You need to take care of your eyes. Please, for the sake of yourself, for the sake of, you know, watching sports to cue up your hot takes. How are you going to have smoldering takes if you can't see what's going on? Get with the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates, and tell them Chris Raby sent you from the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Call 966-5000, 314-966-5000. Visit youreyedoc.com. The Chris Raby Show is broadcasting from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. All right, it's always great to chat with our guy, Casey Stern, who joins us on the program. Of course, you can hear him on MLB Network Radio. See him on Turner Sports. What's going on, man? How is everything, Casey?
It is good. You know, Chrissy, when you sit there and you finally, after all the time that we waited to have a regular season that was a full season, right? Like, to be in it. It's like, I'm happy that we get to, like, things to complain about,
sports,
right?
Which is always the best every year.
Yes, teams that are doing things we're not happy with, we get to argue about it, and we're not complaining about whether or not they're going to play. They're actually playing, except for the Nationals and Mets, who have sort of been playing. Everybody else is playing, so it's I'm good, man. How are you? All right?
Good, man. That was kind of like the good thing for me, was that the end of spring training felt like the boring part of spring training when we're ready to play games. There was something like comforting in that.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because in talking to a lot of players, it kind of snuck up on people that the season was here. I think everybody was waiting for a shooter drop, where they just like kind of like, you know, they said it was going to start on April Fool's. So maybe they were giving us a little bit of a preview of what was going on. But it is amazing, because I think it kind of crept up on people. But now we're in full swing. We got a full season, and, you know, hopefully more and more fans, you know, nationally and I don't have to say in Canada, because they're in Dunedin, but nationally we'll continue to, you know, ramp up. And by the time we get closer to postseason, it'll have that feel in the ballparks like we're used to in this sport.
Casey Stern is with us. You know, the last time we talked, we talked a lot about what could happen both into the spring and throughout this season and then into next offseason between the players and the owners. And while there's no way right now, I think, to forecast what the relationship or the level of contention could be like once the season closes and what that might mean moving forward, your take on if there's been any movement at all? I suppose that the fact that, like you said, we didn't really hear much throughout the spring, do you take that as a good sign? Do you take that as no sign? Has your opinion changed on that at all, Casey?
Yeah, I think here's the unfortunate news. I think it's going to be as bad as we think it is. But, you know, I guess the positive side of that is that because there seems no willingness to have any conversations to even set up things to be a little bit more of an amiable nature once we get there, we probably don't have to talk about it much until we get there, except for when we realize that the rosters aren't big enough, when we realize that there's no universal DH, and as Zach Gallen, for example, one of the better pitchers in the National League, right, has to get hurt before the season begins, which in talking to Torrey Lovello a few days ago, I mean, you know, he's still trying to like contain, and you can imagine like when you lose your ace it, for something that just seems to be unconscionable. I think the lack of conversation though, Chris, which we talked about last time, you know, going to the discussions of the universal DH, which everyone wanted, but both sides were worried about being used as leverage in this CBA, which was months away. That tells you all you need to know about, the late Mills Lane. Let's get it on. I mean, that's pretty much where we're at once this thing gets to a head here in a few months.
You know, and it just still, like, that's something that I still almost, like, think about every couple of days. I'll be like, oh, yeah, baseball still hasn't made a decision on that. And, like, there could potentially just be a DH, like, at any point this season. That was maybe the one thing during the spring that really, I'm surprised it didn't get more traction, Casey, because you know, with teams already dealing with financial constraints, that was something looming over teams that were going to have to make roster decisions.
Well, you know, the worst part of it is I kept saying, I said, you know, I was amazed by literally in the 11th hour, and I've been talking to people around the sport who would be like, I get a text like, hey, do you know anything about, you know, whether or not they're going to make a late switch? And like, these are people like in the sport, like, how the hell would I? I have no idea. But like
a week before the season.
Yeah, I mean, like days before the season. But the way I looked at it was, and I don't know that this is legitimate, but this is how I, you know, parking on Common Sense Avenue, as I like to say, the way I looked at it was when Nelly Cruz lost like $15 million easy by taking the Twins deal, where the Twins basically had said, hey, look, if the National League has a DH and the Braves and Dodgers, who are two of the teams already were interested, are after you, you know, it's been nice knowing you, which I think was a mistake, but that's the way they were going to handle it. And Nelly would get a 2-year deal from whoever won the bidding. When he decided to take that Twins deal, that to me meant that I assumed he had called Tony Clark and said, listen, Tony, we're friends, whatever the case is, but you understand if I sign this deal and then you tell me that we're going to agree and there's a DH and I could have lost $15 million, I expect a check. I mean, so I think at some point he was told there's no chance, no snowball's chance that it's going anywhere. And that was the moment where I realized that this childish bartering over nothing, because everyone wants it, but creating it as if it's some sort of leverage point because each side is so afraid. And I'm telling you, you never heard anything like talking to the players and the people who are involved in these meetings who say, no, 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 but we know they'll use it against us. But you know, they can't use it against you unless you let them, right? Like, you have to sign the agreement. Like, I don't understand it. It's crazy to me, but it is not going to be pretty once this thing gets down to brass tacks here in a few months.
Yeah, I really feel like there are some ways in which even when things are going right, baseball can't get out of its own way. And that's no pun intended in terms of Ron Culpa and Michael Conforto getting, air quotes, hit by a pitch to drive in the winning run the other day. The Mets broadcasters, I mean, those guys are, those beauties are literally like audibly upset about what's going on because it was a strike. And just an example where, you know, afterwards say, we didn't get it right. And everything was kind of set up to get it right. But there are still certain instances, I feel like, where the sport needs like a little bit more of a nudge or needs to get out of the this is how we've always done it or this is how we've always thought about things kind of mind frame.
Yeah, look, here's the problem. When you put in replay and you say that, if you will, the integrity of why it's being put in, the idea of it is we don't want to have the, which was very unfortunate, the Jim Joyce, Armando Galarraga situation, right? Where you got an umpire who, give him credit, I mean, is emotional and crying, taking a historic moment away because he made a mistake on an obvious mistake. And this was supposed to be put in to help that umpire, right, in whatever situation, because they're humans. And I think, look, anybody who thinks that any umpire should get 100, like the play at the plate in the Braves-Phillies game, anybody blaming the umpire on the spot for getting it wrong, to me, that's moronic. Like, it is such a bang-bang play.
And they get pretty damn close to getting all of them right.
Of course. But it's so hard. Imagine standing there. It's like, it's easy for us. We're on the couch. Like, you're in that moment, and it's like all this stuff. That's the point of, hey, look, don't worry about it. We got backup. But the way I explained it yesterday in the air is, it's like if you're sitting here, and it's like, you know, a police unit shows up, and they said, we need backup. We need backup immediately. And somebody in the backup unit FaceTime them instead of showing up to help. Like, why are we having backup where we still can't get it right when we go to New York? And the biggest problem that I have, and it's different in the Conforto play, because part of that is this idea where you can replay, but you can only look at something. So you're telling me, like, if I was going to replay in a store, I'm looking for a shoplifter, but I saw somebody running naked in aisle 4. I'm not going to do anything about it because I'm only looking for the shoplifter. I mean, it's just stupid. But to me, the bigger problem in what has been developing after this game that happened in the Sunday night telecast between the Braves and the Phillies is that we're understanding again why it's important, Chris, to not have an umpire up in New York. It makes no sense. I worked at .com way back in, I think it was 07 when they built this. And the replay center is an unbelievably advanced, you know, formula, except for this one part where we've got to have an umpire in there. I don't need an umpire. If I got an engineer from MIT, I only have to ask him one question. Hey, you're brilliant with video. Did he touch the bag before that dude touched him? I mean, it's not that hard, right? Was he safe? Was he out? Was this fair? Was it foul? Was it, whatever the case may be, but instead we've got an umpire. Well, when you have that, you now have somebody in the fraternity and you've got heartstrings and you've got the, am I going to really go ahead and ruin the numbers of that umpire who got the call wrong? And that's where it all gets into play. And then the last thing I'll say is this whole idea of conclusive evidence to overturn. There is nothing in the world that is, and conclusive is usually means obvious, right? Because, oh, it's easy to tell. What in the world for any of the people listening right now in their whole life has ever taken 5 minutes to answer that is conclusive? Conclusive is 5 seconds, not 5 minutes. So if it's only conclusive evidence to overturn, why is every replay wasting all of the time it does? It doesn't make any sense. They need to revamp it, and they need to figure out truly what are they looking to accomplish when it goes to New York.
You know, it's kind of like why in a court of law, it's not you have to prove conclusively. You prove beyond a reasonable doubt, right?
Doubt,
and
that's right.
I think that, like, the whole issue is just think of it in general. Like, a lot of times we, and I use the collective we, don't even know, like, what's reviewable in the moment. That's why, like, I give Dan McLaughlin so much credit because he pores over the rules and understands that. But if you're, you know, a casual fan or even, I feel
I don't even know half
broadcasters, I don't know, sometimes in the heat of the moment. And, you know, it, like, I think that just illustrates the issue is that if we don't even know, and you have to go to the rule book sometimes, then the rule book is still leaving some up to interpretation. Doesn't that just prove your point?
Well, yes, because most of the rule book leaves umpire judgment, which now means that I'm replaying judgment on the field from one human and now taking somebody else who's an umpire and taking their judgment into it, and neither makes any sense. I mean, that's why, like, to me, it's like if the integrity of the whole thing was to get obvious plays, why are we going deep into this and having the neighborhood play? Look, we all understand guys were saving their legs at times and not trying to end up like Ruben Tejada, right? By you know, making sure that they're on the base-ish. And we understand that happened forever. Now, if you want to go ahead and you want to pinpoint, well, your finger was up when you slid over and all of that, tell me if we're doing that, how on a check swing in a ninth inning of like a playoff game, we can't review it because it's a check swing and those are not reviewable. Now, I get balls and strikes you can't open, right? You think about Chris, like that's the Pandora's, okay, now we're going to robots, right? So if I can't open, that's fine. But a check swing, even where an umpire is standing, it is hard. I mean, that is hard to figure out. And why would you want to guess anything when you're talking about a game? And how many times have we seen it, right? Where a check swing sometimes ends a game and it's not reviewable. Why would we ever have a situation that's not reviewable that determines a game? In hockey, they're already up in Toronto on every goal. So they come down and they tell them in their ears in the IFB, hey, you got to go review it. We need to look deeper into it. There's an issue or someone was in the crease or the goal was off the hinges, whatever. We've got such technology, yet for some reason, why do we have to call New York? Like they can't already be on the phone? There's somebody watching the game. They don't already know what's happening. Would they go get a snack? Like, I mean, why are we living in the world of Atari in this sport and everyone else is playing PS5 or on the waiting list for it? At least
I'll go even pre-Atari though, because this actually I would get behind. Like, if you want to get rid of it and if you want to get rid of the check swing controversy, let's just go so freaking far the other way. And if there's a check swing that would determine the outcome of an at bat, boom, drop the bat, catcher pull the mask off, rock, paper, scissors, once, go. Who says no to that?
I just want to know how long are we going to fight over who gets to choose first?
We'd have to flip a coin for that. But then, example, this is what baseball would do. They'd say, okay, and of course, being entirely tongue in cheek, we'll play rock, paper, scissors, but first we have to flip a coin to determine who goes first. All right, well, how do we determine who gets to call heads or tails for the coin? Well, to do that, we're going to have a race. It's like just overcomplicating things sometimes.
It is everybody. And here's the thing, too. Everybody puts it. And there are a lot of things that the commissioner has done that I haven't liked. There are some things that the commissioner has done that I have liked. I think once we decide, you know, overall general, you know, sports public, you know, who we like and we don't like, we then blame everything on that person. This to me is not just this isn't like, I can't imagine like Rob Manfred sitting there like watching that game with before he was like, oh, yes, thank God it ended this way. Like, you know, I don't think this is necessarily his fault, but it goes back to everything that we're saying and the archaic nature of we're not going to push personalities, but you can have 3 days in August. You can wear nicknames. And then when you give us all the nicknames, you'll be able to wear the seventh on the list because the first six are too edgy and all the stuff we do. I ask people and I look, there's a lot of really good people in Park Avenue in the league office. Anyone who works in the business listening, anyone who plays, anyone who's a fan, who's ever seen people walking around that work in the league, how many of them are under the age of 40? How many of them are under the age of 50? And when I'm sitting here in my 40s thinking, I'm too damn old to be in a niche market to figure out how to push the personality and marketing in this game, right? How many young people do we have? And then we wonder why we have all of these archaic and, you know, lunacy riddled kind of policies. And to me, a big part of it really across the board for this sport is we're so involved and entrenched in this purist. You ever hear anyone say to you, I'm an NFL purist, or oh, I'm an NBA purist. Like, what is that even?
Or I'm an automobile or an airplane purist. I only fly in Wright Brother originals. Yeah.
Right. Like we all love the documentary and everybody goes back to, oh my God, I remember watching black and white in baseball. It's great, but we're in 2021. You got somebody eating sushi, FaceTiming their cousin in the seventh row of the game, not paying attention to what's on the field. We can't be treating it like it's 50 years ago. And I still think that, to me, going back to it, is part of, to your point, like just the everything seems to be like so old and old school. Like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like, if you know, we're offending somebody 75 years old that like we want to move forward in this world. I mean, I really do apologize. I'm not asking them to get an electric car or have a lava lamp, but it's time for this sport to move forward.
Yeah, but yeah, and there are also, I feel like, 30-year-olds and 35-year-olds and 20-year-olds who don't adapt as well, and you see them struggle, especially right now in the times. And listen, this isn't like an indictment. This isn't an ageist take. First of all, The Dark Knight is better than Citizen Kane because it's better. Like, there isn't really an argument there in terms of, like, the production, the tools, what they have
available.
Because
it's not Matt Harvey.
And what's available in any industry right now?
Of course,
like with Zoom. If you're a technology purist, say, all right, I'm going to live the pandemic as if it was 1960. No cell phones, no email, no Zoom. You couldn't do it. And you know, a executive in a front office told me recently that, you know, when they look at applications for entry level, but, you know, significant jobs in the front office, they said the candidates that they interview have, for the most part, two distinct options. They are weighing going to work in a baseball front office or going to work at a hedge fund on Wall Street. All right.
Right.
And if those are the caliber of thinkers and innovators and people that are driving the most successful franchises in the sport and in sports, then, yeah, why not try to inject a little bit more of that into the sport? Like, nothing against, you know, Ron Culpa or some of the umpires, Casey, but I've thought, and I think Joe Sheehan had this in a newsletter a couple of years ago, why not try to recruit younger umpires, guys that are maybe in the minors, guys
who don't understand that either.
Yeah, like maybe they're not going to be big league players, but why not like peers, guys that are the same age as the players who have the same level of skill, the same motor skills. Well, and you'd have to up the, you know, to get some of these guys.
You'd
have to up the pay to maybe $1 million a year, make it a full-time job. But could baseball not afford that?
Of course they can. Well, I mean, look, exactly. I keep saying, why is it we could tell you, like, you know, back when you and I were kids, we had like a protractor to tell like angles, and, you know, thank God I forgot everything.
Absolutely.
I learned there.
And a compass.
Oh my God. But I mean, now it's like, you know, Amazon Web Services told me that it's a 27 degree angle to the north and 68 miles an hour. That
Dude,
this
nobody
guy
does
over.
Math anymore. You just use your iPhone calculator.
Of course. But if I could tell you how a guy is getting his jumps and angles in center field, can you tell me how I can't have an earpiece in every umpire's ear so we can already be telling them that we need to look further at this play, rather than them convening, having an argument, and then deciding to make a phone call? I mean, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It wastes so much time. We're so concerned on time. And then to me, that's the archaic thing as well, is we worry about like pace of play. But it's not pace anyone ever talks about. It's always like, oh, the length of the game. Whoever in the world, I always use the same analogy. Think of tonight when you're going at home, or if you're at home now listening to this, and you're sitting there with your loved ones, and you put on Netflix or whatever, and you say, I want to watch a movie tonight. Let's get the popcorn. And the movie says total running time, 3 hours. Chances are, especially if it's a weeknight, you're like, screw that. There's no way I'm waiting that long. Now, if you, the same person, went the next day and it said, 2 hours and 56 minutes. Are you going, yes, I'm in? Nobody would do that, right? So it's like, we're not cutting this sport to the level of the hockey and basketball where it's going to be 2.5 hours. We need to make it more action when they're on the field. Yeah. Stop worrying about the amount of time in total.
Rock, paper, scissors.
I'm in. I'm in. I get rock.
Have you made your appointment yet to get in with the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates? I need you to call them at 314-966-5000 and tell them you heard about them on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Dr. Greg Birdie, Dr. Ranjan Malhotra, Dr. Robert Brasati, and Dr. Andrew Royer are the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates. Doctors trust them with their eyes, so shouldn't you trust them with your eyes? Whether or not you wear contacts or glasses, or have been thinking about LASIK, or are dealing with some allergy issues this spring, maybe you're very lucky and your vision is fantastic. Not me. But if it is, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't get your eyes checked out annually. And that's where the doctors, doctors at Ophthalmology Associates come in. Their website is youreyedoc.com. Their phone number is 314-966-5000. And please tell them that Chris Raby sent you. When you schedule your appointment, shoot me a tweet. I want to know that you're going in to get your eyes taken care of by the best, that you're getting your eyes taken care of by Ophthalmology Associates, the proud studio sponsor here on the Chris Raby Show. Now back to Casey Stern. All right, so last question with all of this being said, let's say that I was going to give you the position of advisor to the next commissioner, and you will be behind the scenes. You'll be the puppet master. The pay is still very good, same pay as the commissioner, but you are essentially the chief of staff. And for any sport, it doesn't have to be baseball, because we won't pick on any one commissioner, but let's say that you and your administration was taking over. What would be the first three or four things that you think most important for a new commissioner to try and make sure that, you know, stuff that we've talked about, the direction that the sport should be moving, everyone being on the same page is happening right away? What do you think are the most kind of fundamental important things for someone in this job that, similar to umpires, we hear about the commissioner when there's controversy. We rarely, sing hosannas for how well they're managing the day-to-day operations of the sport when it's healthy. And with that, the caveat that baseball, from a financial standpoint, and obviously pandemic notwithstanding, is doing well right now. So what would Casey Stern implement if given the opportunity?
First of all, we're done lying. Now, what do I mean by that? Everything in this sport, and you probably, in many of you watching it your whole life, don't even realize that the whole thing we do, everything we watch is about lying. Let me explain. If I go ahead and I know that the player policing and the way this sport is you hit one of my guys, I hit one of yours, or back in St. Louis when Tony La Russa was there, you hit one of mine, Tony might hit three of yours. We forget all of that. Yeah, we forget all of that exists, right? But we have to pretend that it slipped. Well, why? I remember when Cole Hamels said that he had thrown at Bryce Harper because he didn't know his role. He was a rookie. Now, that didn't make any sense. But I actually was proud of the guy for admitting that at least he threw at him, but then he got extra games. We've been using Stick'Em or Bullfrog or whatever you want, a pine tar, anything that you can get your hands on to get grip, because guess what? Every hitter on the team that is facing the pitcher is using it. They don't want 97 slipping in humidity and hitting them in the head by accident. It's only always been felt that everybody understands that you're not supposed to overuse it to get spin and all of those sorts of things. But when Pineda put the glob on his head, we then acted like he was the only one who took a scoop of ice cream with it. He was the only one using it. I remember pitchers at the time telling me everyone did. Now the league's mandating a crackdown on something that everyone is doing, and they're doing it for the public because they seem to care more about the public than their own players. Two, change. Stop being afraid of it. Don't give these little baby steps of like 3 days where we're going ahead and we're letting somebody have nicknames on the back. I think guys should be able to individualize cleats. I think guys should be able, in terms of what they wear, to be able, first of all, to make money themselves and brand, but also to help the league make more money. I think we need to have the commissioner more as somebody who is in between the owners and the players, not somebody in a 2-on-1 handicap match against the players. We need to change and move forward. We need the help from the young players, and we're not getting it because the relationship with the commissioner right now is terrible. And, you know, the third thing that I would say that to me always kind of sticks out is we need to be able to admit that something needs to be fixed. And we are so insecure. It is why umpires never are accountable. Angel Hernandez has a war of negative 17 and still has a job. We seemingly, I mean, how? What, no, they don't have to be good. It would be like if a teacher was teaching science and they got everything wrong, and your kid's coming home and like, what the, where did you get this stuff? And he's been there 20 years. Like, you wouldn't go and have that teacher fired? Like, no, but he said Columbus discovered and went sailing, didn't he, in like 1992? I think it was 1492, wasn't it, honey? I mean, you know, so it's like, we're the only sport where it's like the NBA has moved three-point line so many times. They move forward, they move it back, they move it left, because they're trying to find at that point with those players what works best. This sport is always worried about what happened 55 years ago or is covering their own keisters. And I think that, to me, we need to be much, much more in a generation of now where we're wrong, let's notice it, let's fix it. And I think the fear of change is still a big issue within the league office, big time.
Casey Stern, I think we're on the track to fixing just not just sports, but everything. And
that's I feel like I just, like, we just saved the world just now.
Yeah, it was great. It's inspiring. I'm ready to I'm ready to get fired up when, you know, a bad replay decision messes something up, undoubtedly. Casey Stern on Twitter, MLB Network Radio. This is great. I feel like this is just a good little warm-up session, getting the takes loose, getting the takes nice and limber. And, of course, Turner Sports, always great to talk to you, bud.
Just remember this, Chris.
It's great. It's great that we're bitching about replay because there's baseball on.
Remember this. When all of you and you yourself are today trying to get into your bank account and they ask you how many fire hydrants are on the screen to ensure that it is you, that it is the commissioner's fault.
And I never know, like, that's the bottom of the fire hydrant.
So I always hit it too fast. I'm a New Yorker with no patience still, even though I live in the South now for years. I'm clicking the thing, and then it's like, oh, I forgot the check mark. Got to do it again. Where's the chimney? I mean,
Casey Stern, you're the best. Thanks, brother.
Anytime, buddy. Anytime.
Big thanks to Casey and a big thanks to Ophthalmology Associates. Visit them on the web at youreyedoc.com. Call 314-966-5000 and schedule your appointment with Ophthalmology Associates. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. Going to talk a little golf with Rick Gaiman, a little more baseball, and we'll keep an eye on the Blues as they get ready tomorrow night for Colorado. This has been the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com from the Ophthalmology Associates studios. Until tomorrow, Chris Raby saying, be nice to each other. And as always, peace!